Time to scan the tech horizon for 2018, and some of it looks out of this world. Getting things into space, be it satellites or people, is a challenging feat, and SpaceX plan to launch their newest rocket, Falcon Heavy, later this year. Angel investor Peter Cowley is here to tell us more. So, Peter, it sounds like private companies are getting involved in the space race.
Yes, hello, Izzy. Yes, because there is actually money to be made, and it's been done for many years. In the 50s, it was definitely governments doing it, and then the military got involved. But if you mentioned GPS, that can only be done from space. We all use GPS in our sat-navs. Telecoms, telephone calls, TV, a lot of that's from satellite. But new things like imagery, crops, deforestation, mining, etc. To give you an idea, there are 8,000 man-made objects up there that are bigger than about 10 centimetres across, of which about 1,700 are actually in use. And of those, just using the USA figures, 60% are actually commercial. The other 40% are military and government.
SpaceX have said that this year their latest rocket, Falcon Heavy, is going off into space. So tell us about it. What is it and how does it work?
Yeah, first of all, SpaceX is one of the several companies that a guy called Elon Musk, who's quite well known, certainly in the tech industries, has built, including Tesla Motors, which you might have heard of, and Solar City. He employs about 70,000 people in total, of which 7,000 work for SpaceX, which is sort of heading towards being profitable because it puts launches satellites for people. Now, the Falcon Heavy is obviously his heaviest one, his biggest one. It's got 27 engines and it's got the thrust of the equivalent of 18 jumbo jets. All the three rockets, it has three rockets, are reusable, which actually makes it cheaper because they come back down to Earth, land, and can be reused. It'll take 64 tons into low Earth orbit, which is actually quite a lot smaller than Saturn V. Some of the listeners might remember the Saturn V that launched the moon trips in the late 60s and 70s, which actually carried 140 tons. But the aim of this, apart from taking stuff up into orbit, is to actually get to the moon with humans and then potentially to Mars. First launch was supposed to be 2013. Was supposed to happen this weekend, actually. Hasn't happened. He's actually going to launch his own very first Tesla car there, and it's being sent on a trip to Mars, this thing, so it won't come back again. And he's expecting to charge about £90 million per launch. So therefore, there is actually a commercial model.
My goodness. And I mean, is there much competition out there for launching things into space?
Yeah, I mean, originally, as I said, it was governments and then it was the European Space Agency. Nowadays, I've found over 50 companies that actually will put something into space for you. A whole new industry is called New Space, which includes things like nanosats, which are tiny 10 centimetre by 10 centimetre by 10 centimetre cubes, which schools send up. There's energy harvesting. There's even funeral services.
And what are those nanosats used for?
They're used for experimentation. So this is going back to research. But research of all kinds of things in weightless conditions or outside the atmosphere.
But take it to the extreme. What about me? Is there a chance that I could spend a holiday in space?
There is, and I'll give you some figures. I don't know if it'll be a holiday or not, but SpaceX have actually got two people who paid a deposit to go up into space later this year, whether that happens or not. But work out some pricing. The sort of pricing that seems to be on the internet is probably between a quarter and a half $1 billion for trip around the moon. Now, if you take the average, apparently according to Mumsnet, that 10%, you pay 10% of your annual wages on holidays, that means you've got to be earning between about $1 billion and $2 billion, of which apparently there are 20 or 30 people in the world that do that.
Oh, wow.
If you take out of capital, because remember, it's a holiday in a lifetime, then there are actually several thousand people that could afford $100 million plus. I doubt that includes anybody here in the studio. Certainly doesn't include me.
Oh God, I better start saving then. But why are companies investing in space when arguably we could look at other opportunities for improving infrastructure, say like here on Earth?
Yeah, that's been a question for many years, and NASA's been pushed back a lot of times over the years about the expenditure. There's just general human nature, the fact that people want to explore, want to not totally conquer, but want to understand new things about life. There's also a lot of other things. This we've had people in the studio talking about terraforming. This is the concept of converting another planet for normal life. So if we really do break this planet, which there's still a good possibility we will, maybe we have to move some of the population away from the Earth. Maybe we're too many people from this Earth to support. And there's a whole stack of other things like asteroid and moon mining for materials. There's scientific research itself. Some things can only be done from space, as I mentioned earlier, with the schools. And then a lot of things have been generated from the space program. Integrated circuits, long time before you were born. The space program did that. Freeze-dried food, that actually came out of that, etc. Metal-coated plastics. There's a whole stack of things that come out of that. But in the end, I can't, philosophically, I couldn't say definitely we should spend it on health as opposed to space or vice versa.
Fair enough. And finally, I mean, would you want to spend a holiday in space if you could?
A, I can't afford it. B, I can't justify it. And C, actually, there's quite a lot of interesting places to see on this Earth.
How much of a carbon footprint is involved in all of these missions going up? Is it sort of equivalent to planes going around? Is it the same kind of ballpark?
It will be. If you take the thrust of 27 jumbos, then you're going to be generating that much carbon from that. Exactly. If you do that per person, if you take 17 jumbos, which may be 500 people, that's 8,500 people travelling for a period of time. You've got two people going up there. Clearly, there's no comparison there. Clearly, it's a lot more. There has to be other reasons for doing that. It'd be a long time before we can use a non-carbon-based fuel to get up there. There is the talk of electric aircraft, and that may well happen if that electricity had been generated, say, by another source other than carbon, nuclear or whatever, or wind, then that would not generate the carbon in the motion. But you've still got the manufacture. Cradle-to-grave carbon production needs to include actual manufacture and disposal as well.
Brilliant. And finally, you mentioned that there was a launch planned recently and it didn't happen. How much of these companies is a bit of grandstanding? Like, how much of it do you think we'll actually see?
I'm confident it'll happen. I'm confident they're far enough through with this. Remember, I'm involved in startups, have been for a very long time, and people promise things and they fail, and they promise things and fail. But in the end, they do get there. Most of them will get there if they've got enough money to do so. SpaceX has been around quite a long time. It has launched. I mean, last year, it's supposed to have launched 14 or 15 satellites into space in 2017. So therefore, it can do it and it can achieve it. But this is a big, big rocket. And, you know, there's an awful lot of design work necessary. So I'm confident it will happen. Whether, it's already a few years late, whether it'll be another few years, who knows?
Peter Cowley, thanks very much.